Hi, this is Ted and PK, and thanks for listening to this highlight from Faith Radio Mornings.
To learn more about our show or how you can help support us, log on to faithradionet.com. 7:38, this is Faith Radio Mornings with Ted and PK as we are on this pre-Thanksgiving Eve here, if you will, and kind of thinking ahead to Thanksgiving Day and even through the holidays themselves. It can be kind of interesting to navigate some of those waters, maybe with your extended family, maybe even with your immediate family, if you have teenagers especially, you'd think they'd probably want to be just about anywhere else but with the family. So we thought, who better to ask about this than the parenting experts, John and Kendra Smiley. Welcome this morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Yes, and happy Thanksgiving to you both. So this is a very timely topic and appropriate. The post is at faithradionet.com as well from John and Kendra Smiley. Teenagers, they dig their heels in, don't they? How can parents deal with this?
Well, a lot of times they do. It's interesting. We were just talking very recently with a teenager who was a teenager not long ago, said he really didn't have any problem, you know, any hostility when it came to these family gatherings. And his statement was it got him out of school, which that's interesting. But I said in response to that, you know, our kids really didn't either because it was fun. So that's one of the things I think a parent needs to look at. You know, what kind of an atmosphere are you creating or is created at these family gatherings? You know, I think that's a good first step.
And what if your family gathering isn't fun? I mean, what if you've got stodgy relatives that maybe they're elderly, you know, so they're not really going to be a lot of fun, and the kids just sit there and they don't know what to do with themselves. You know, and you try your best. You can't always entertain them. How do you help with that?
Well, one of the things that you can do is have them be in charge of some of the entertainment.
Right, and that depends, I think, whether the party is at your house or whether the party is at someplace else. One of the things that mom and dad can do if you're going on a road trip is with that teenager, if that teenager can drive, is think about things like that and say, you know what, would you like to drive? And maybe just the fun part of driving to the party and driving home is enough that they say, oh, yeah, you know, they look forward to that. Yes, it's going to be kind of boring at the party, but it gives them something to look forward to. And if they're going to be home, as Kendra said, you know, we make it interesting at home. Usually if it's at home, it's our party. Mom and dad are deciding. And there can be some things that they do, some fun things. And I think probably the biggest thing is, as mom and dad, we just need to be thinking about them a little bit.
That's right. I think the problem we fall into is we forget that teenagers are emerging adults. You know, they are young adults, and so we don't want to treat them like children, and yet, you know, there are some responsibilities. When it's time to go to the party, it's time to go to the party, which leads me to another idea. Do they really have to go for the entire duration? Just this morning, I got a phone call from John's sister, who's joining us and all of her family joining us tomorrow for Thanksgiving, coming over from Iowa. And she said, now, what time do you want me to get there? Well, I said, I'll need some help, but really won't need any help till about, an hour before the meal. And so it's not like, although her kids are all, they're very close to adulthood. The baby is in college, and so they'll be entertaining themselves by visiting with the other adults. But I'm not saying, hey, can you get here at 4 a.m. and help put the turkey in?
Yeah.
And don't make your teenager, or maybe if it's a close party, and I mean proximity-wise, maybe the teenager can leave a little bit earlier, not have to
you
stay.
You mean later?
Oh, yes. No, or leave later, get there later, or leave from the party a little bit earlier.
Right.
Yep.
So that they're not, you know, there's really nothing very spiritually holy about having to eat turkey again for leftovers. And maybe if they're still smiling, that's a good time for them to maybe do something else.
Right. We just had an opportunity to talk to an adult, and one of the things that this mother's son did on Thanksgiving was they always had, he had this I'm not even sure actually what it was, an electronic game with his friends or whatever, and she was checking about,
right,
you know, how long was it going to take, because she knew, she was thinking about him, that they like to play this electronic game after they had Thanksgiving dinner. And I thought, you know, that's really good that she is taking time to check on things, and she had him in mind.
As your kids change in age, you have to adapt to that, too. So make some adaptations to your demand, so to speak, for family gatherings.
Good recommendations from John and Kendra Smiley joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. They're also authors of several books. We have a link up for their website at faithradionet.com. After this break, John and Kendra, I want to ask you if parents have maybe made some poor decisions by not being the parent, as you like to say, and have developed some maybe unhealthy habits in their teen. How can those be broken, especially maybe on short notice here before Thanksgiving? We'll talk with them about that in just a moment. Your call is welcome as well at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More with John and Kendra Smiley in 2 minutes on Faith Radio Mornings. Yeah. Remember this one from Bye Bye Birdie?
That's great.
Talking about kids, teenagers today especially. And you might just want to throw your hands up if you're a parent and go, you know, I've tried to get through to my teen and nothing's working. And maybe you've given up. And that's honest. That's real. But, you know, John and Kendra Smiley are parenting experts. They're here to help us continue to be the parent, even to our teens. So, John and Kendra, before the break there, I said I wanted to ask you about this. If there are some bad habits that have been instilled, maybe for lack of parenting has happened in a home, and parents want their teens to just behave, or they're just counting down the days till they're out of the house, sadly, how can they be encouraged today and equipped?
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that you just said was they've tried to get through to their teenager. I think one of the mistakes that we make in parenting is not being good listeners. Part of getting through to anybody is learning how to listen to what they're saying. So, yep, short notice, but let's say this teenager is saying, I don't want to go wherever it is you've got scheduled the trip for tomorrow. Ask why and listen to what that teenager has to say.
Right, and you might be able to compromise a little bit after a conversation, and I think that's a great idea to sit down and have an adult conversation, unemotional, with your teen if you can, and ask what's going on, as Kendra said. And there might be a little bit of compromise, like they go to the place and they just sit around and they're not cordial or whatever, and you talk about that and they come up and they say, well, we just stay forever. Okay, maybe you can make a little compromise and say, tell you what, you know, you be cordial and we might be able to leave a little bit earlier. And things like that. I think that, you know, if you can, if there's something that you are doing that's really hard on the teen, maybe you giving a little bit might help the situation.
That's right. You know, kids want to spend time with other kids. And if you happen to be in a family where you are the only teenager at a family gathering, yeah, it's a little different. There's nobody there that's really talking your language, as the Bye Bye Birdie song insinuated. And so you want to let them have some time to spend time over this vacation with their friends, too.
Right. And I think that the whole idea that we talked about in the beginning of having fun at these, as a family, having fun as best you can. And maybe you haven't done that. Maybe you haven't thought about that. And so maybe that you can't get through to your teen, and maybe it isn't a fun time for them. And to think about that, what could we do to make it more fun? It might go a long way. I know I just talked to a mom, it's been a couple weeks ago at a parenting seminar, and that's one of the questions that I asked her. I said she was having a problem with a teen. And I said, you know, do you have fun in your house? Is there encouragement? Is there laughter in your home? And sometimes, because of personalities or whatever, the adults might not think that's very important. And they have a child who has a different personality who really, like Kendra, she enjoys having fun all the time. So as a teenager, I mean, it'd have been really hard on her if her parents would never have thought having fun was a, you know, an interesting thing. So that might be something to think about.
Right, and I always encourage parents, it's never too late. It's tougher, you know, the longer we wait to break those unhealthy habits. You know, if we start with fewer, that obviously helps. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily over just because the teenager finally leaves the home. You want to have an adult relationship.
Right, and I would say, with all that in mind, it still comes down to parents, you're in charge and not your teen.
Yep.
And I think that's very, very important. If your teen is in charge, up, That's not good.
Nobody's going to have fun.
Right. And so whatever it is, you've got to, you know, as a parent, you have to be the one in charge.
And I always find it kind of an interesting struggle because you want to be the parent, you want to be in charge, and I don't want my kids to sit there, you know, going back a few years or something, but, you know, the eye rolls and the disinterest, and they don't participate during the meal, even with just a respectful conversation. And it's, you know, one word answers or something like that, because, you know, if you're in a setting where it's not going to be fun because the people there have never had that in their experience and don't like fun.
What?
I know. Kendra, it really does exist. I don't want to really. It's other people. Don't worry about it. But, but you know, how do you do that as a parent? Because to demand respect is, you know, that never seems to work really well. But yet there is that respect issue, too, with grandparents there, elderly family members. You want them to be respectful. And if they don't have it, how do you encourage that without all the fun? You know, you have to find that something to do.
Exactly. Well, I think one of the things you do is we're not talking an infant here. We're talking someone who definitely can listen and understand and respond. You let them know, you let your teenager know how it makes the other person feel. Let's say grandma and grandpa really are sticks in the mud. That's hard to imagine, but they really are. And yet you want to be respectful. And they don't really have probably a relationship because they haven't developed one yet. But I think sitting down with your teenager and saying, you know, first of all, admitting what the truth is, you know what, guys? I'm probably not really going to have such a good time either. But this is something I think that we do because it makes grandma and grandpa feel good or whatever the true reason is. Being honest with your teenager and then letting them know this is how it would bless grandma the most. This is an idea for you to think about.
Right. And the other thing that I think there are two things here. First of all, the idea of how it relates to them. If they have that kind of an attitude, and as they grow up and continue to have that kind of an attitude, it'll affect them in getting a job or whatever it is. So we can look a little bit long-term with them. And then the second thing, and you said it, PK, exactly, you know, you can't demand respect. That can't be demanded. But in these cases, and that would probably, in my situation, if I had a teenager happen once, that the child would be disrespectful like that, and then we would have a talk before we went, just like Kendra said. And if they were still being belligerent and after a civil conversation, then there would be consequences for that teen. They're still in under your roof, you're still in charge, and if they chose to go and be belligerent and not enter in at all and do the eye roll and one answer, you know, one word answers. And Kendra and I have been in those situations in family gatherings, and it is very, very difficult. So there would be consequences for that teen.
Right, and I think a couple things, actually. I'm thinking of one particular one when it was a nephew, and boy, I would hardly let that kid go. I'm like, I will win this kid over. And so sometimes you have those crazy aunts like that sort of take care of things. But once you set the parameters, once you've let your teenager know, this is behavior that we don't want to see, this is behavior that we expect to see, then let it go. And let that teenager make the choice whether or not he or she is going to, you know, put on their big boy or big girl pants and do what you've asked. Don't ride the, you know, roughshod over them. Now, remember, when we get here, I told you to make sure you go give grandma a hug. And then, you know, forget, you know, let them, they are emerging adults. Let them make the good choice or the bad choice. And again, if they make the bad choice, then there've got to be some sort of consequences.
Is it okay, like, in the middle of that, if you're going through it and it's still happening, to maybe just say, hey, can I talk to you out in the kitchen for a second? And you just have a little, you step out of the situation for a second and just say, you know what, this is what we talked about before. I just I don't know if you know that you're doing this, you know, or do you think that this is making grandma or grandpa feel good? Is it appropriate to do that?
Yeah,
or
does that embarrass them more?
Right.
Yeah. And I believe it's a great question, and I think it depends on the situation. That's one of those things that you have. In some situations, you wouldn't want to do that because, just like you said, Ted, it upsets the grandparents or the aunts and uncles more, and you just wait till you get home. In other settings, with aunt, like in our family, if that happened, that would be appropriate. It wouldn't upset anybody, and you know, you could take that teen out. Exactly that. Don't do it in front of people.
Right. Right. That'd be embarrassing.
Exactly right, PK. You know, take them out in the kitchen where nobody can hear, and then you remind them. But it just depends on the situation.
John and Kendra Smiley, our guests here again on Faith Radio Mornings, talking about holidays and hostile teenagers. Let's say that something goes really wrong at Thanksgiving here tomorrow for a family, and they may even make a plan after listening to this, but it just doesn't work. It doesn't fall through, and there's a blow up.
Because it's the first time.
Yeah.
Sometimes the first time
implementing it
is like exercising. You know, it's not perfect the first time.
Sure, but then Christmas right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So what can parents do to tweak the plan for Christmas?
Go ahead. We are looking at each other.
Yeah, that's all right.
That doesn't happen very often.
We're
both really excited about the holidays.
That's right.
And about being able to help parents and help kids so there's good relationships that are built. You know, I think that's when, again, we're talking about almost adults, emerging adults, and that's when you have a conversation. Hey, you know, and you become, as a parent, more of a listener than a lecturer, and you ask the teenager, what went wrong there? I thought we had communicated. Starting out with a conversation is always a good place to start. Your turn, John.
Yeah, and again, another great point of, you know, it doesn't work in Thanksgiving. We got more holidays. We got more parties to go through. And it's just, you know, you take it as a parent a step at a time.
Right.
And you look at the situation and you go back. You can have the conversation Kendra just talked about. And you can go back and you're, you know, mom and dad sitting down together and praying about it. It's one thing that Kendra and I say every time we do a parenting seminar, God has the wisdom of our children and knows them and knows us as parents. And it's one of those things we sit down and say, okay, you know, Lord, what's the next step here? We need to get this thing under control. And so don't ever sell prayer short,
right,
and don't ever sell praying together as mom and dad short.
Mm-hmm. There is power in prayer. Yeah. Definitely a great word there. John and Kendra, thanks so much for the time and the insight again today. Links up for their website at faithradionet.com. Check out some of their books too.
I had one closing thought.
Yeah.
How you help your teenagers do this will depend on how their kids treat you as grandparents. How's that?
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Some good motivation.
Well, John's parents are elderly. They're just getting ready to move into a retirement village, actually next week. And every once in a while, our boys will call and they'll say, where's Dad? And I say, oh, he's over at Grandma and Grandpa's. He's modeling for you.
Nice. That's good.
Exactly.
Well, have a blessed Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy
you too.
Thanksgiving.
We'll check you again. Yeah, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh. Thanks, right. You guys.
Bye.